God, it's with a lot of joy that we're here this morning to be in your presence, to worship you, and to remember that you sent your wonderful Son to this earth to not only come as a child and as a man, but a man who would eventually go to be our Savior. Oh, what joy! Hallelujah! We have joy! We should go and tell it. We should go and tell it wherever we are. So, Father, we just pray this morning that you would bring hope. Bring hope to each one of our hearts. Bring hope to each one of our lives. And we pray, Lord, as we're on the doorstep of 2016, pray that hope would be our banner going forward. It wouldn't be, maybe this past year was a tough year. Maybe it was a good year, but we look forward to 2016 as a year of hope, a year of fruitfulness, and a year of encouragement. We just pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, well, well. Good morning. I hope you had a good Christmas. I know we had a very quiet time. Well, kind of quiet, but it was nice. Nice to be with family. I know there's a lot of rushing around during this time of the year. I was so happy because I just love internet shopping. I bought all my presents with a click of a mouse. It was absolutely. I didn't even go out of the house once, because every so often you go out there and you think, I don't even want to go near that place. I don't want to go near that mall. The people drive stupid at Christmas time. I don't know what it is. Everybody. I saw some videos where people were fighting in parking lots. Wow, that is not what this time of the year is supposed to be about. But we get somehow we get carried away with these things. This morning we're going to talk about hope arrived. You know when babies come? I know Nate and Laura are expecting, which is very, very exciting. When babies come, it's hope. There's a lot of hope. And for those of us who've had children, we just know that feeling inside, like especially when it's still in mom's in the wife's womb. It's just like, oh, it's kind of growing and everything's kind of developing. You're like, what is this child gonna be? And we have Deb and I have two beautiful granddaughters now, and we're like, oh, I remember when Kristen was pregnant, we were like, oh, what's gonna happen? And what will they be? And sometimes you dream, right? You dream like, oh, they'll be a doctor. I think we have a budding veterinarian in our family. Our little Naomi, she just loves helping the wounded little animals that she finds. Of course, they're not really wounded. They're just stuffed toys. But anyway, at 2 years old, it'll do. You have all these kind of hopes, and sometimes, it's just kind of like endless possibilities. And I want to tell you a little story about when Deb and I had our first child. Here's a picture of us when we were, don't laugh. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize we had that kind of reaction, but anyway. I know he's beautiful, but my goodness, he's not that. That was Deb and I back in 1987, when our son Joshua was born, and we had lots and lots of hope, of course. But I never had that thought that, oh, one day he's going to be a doctor, one day he's going to be this, one day he's going to be the other. But here's what we named him Joshua for a reason, because the person Joshua in the Bible learned well. He learned well under Moses. And not only did he learn well under Moses, but he became a leader among God's people. And so that was our heart as we named our son. And so and he would never remember this, but I would spend nights and days whenever he was in his crib or when he was a little boy, and I would read stories to him about Joshua. Because more than anything else, my hope for him was that he would be not like Joshua in the Old Testament, leading people physically like that, but just in his heart of hearts, he would be a real Joshua. And at Christmas time, that's when we talk about the birth of Jesus. And there is no greater hope than this boy no greater hope. God sent us hope in a little boy. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about what Joseph and Mary went through, and then I want to challenge us at the end about where we're placing our hope in these days. Because I think it's important, especially as I prayed, we're on the dawn of 2016, and I hope our 2016 could be a year of hope. So let me talk a little bit about Joseph with you at the beginning. Joseph, we find the record of, you know, his interaction with the angel in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 on. Let me just read these verses for you. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." And I just want to point out a couple of things here. Joseph is like any typical Jew in those days, growing up under Roman occupation. He's living in the land of Israel. He's in the north area, far away actually from Bethlehem and Jerusalem. So there he is up there, and he hears from an angel, "You are Mary, the one you are betrothed to. Even though you have not come together with her yet, still she is with child. And I know you want to run away, but I'm telling you, Joseph, the one who is in her womb, that one is there from the Holy Spirit. And he will save his people from their sins." And there's one thing that we should know for sure about this man, Joseph, because I think sometimes when we think about Joseph and Mary, we think about these people who are not like us, but you know what? They're just like us. Joseph knew his own sin. Joseph knew the sin that was among his people. He could see it. He could hear it. He could see how they were not treating one another well. He could see the sin of the Romans around them as they, you know, put all kinds of oppression on them and caused them to go through things that probably he felt wasn't right. And yet, what Joseph heard was a word of hope. You know that sin that you just can't run away from? And I challenge us this morning, are we trying to run away from sin? That's an impossible. You can't run away from your sin. You can't avoid your sin. And that's why God sent his son. Because his son is going to save his people. He's going to save people from their sins. That's hope. That's real hope. And you know, it's interesting today. We have a lot of people, you know, kind of, especially more and more in North America, we have a lot of people who tell us things like, "Oh, you know what? All roads lead to God. It doesn't really matter which religion that you have because everything is kind of all pointing towards the same God." Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that is false. Do not believe that. There is only one hope that God sent, and that is his son. Because nothing else, nobody else will ever be able to save you and me from our sins. I'll get to that a little bit later on. Mary had hope. I want to talk a little bit about Mary. Now, her account we can find in the book of Luke in chapter 1. And there we read this. Luke chapter 1. No. Go back. There we go. An angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Same name. Joseph found out what his name was going to be from an angel. Mary found out what his name was going to be from an angel. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. His name will be Jesus. And this time the emphasis is not he will save his people from their sins. This time it is Jesus. He will be great. And so what the angel is saying to Mary, as you know, Mary's coming to grips with the fact that she is now pregnant, knows she's never been with a man, trying to put all of this stuff together, and God is telling her, you know, you have something conceived in your womb from the Holy Spirit. This is of me, Mary. This is of me. And what she finds out is that he will be great. Expect great things from this boy. Expect great things from this child. Extraordinary things. Of course, Mary's got no idea that at 12 years old, this boy is going to go to the temple with them and hang out with them for a little while. And then when they leave to go home, he's still there. And they're trying to figure out where he is. And they go back to Jerusalem and find him there. And he says, why are you worried? I'm just about the things of my father. Expect amazing, great things from this boy. And one of the things that was striking to me as I was going over this story this time was, he will be the Son of the Most High. Does that mean anything to anybody in this room? I think we kind of can put it together, and we kind of know what that means. He's the Son of the Most High. But to Mary, that would have meant a lot more than it means to you and I. It doesn't just mean, oh, it's the, he's, you know, he's going to come from God, the Most High. And so I started to, you know, to look back and to see. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham talked about the Most High. He said, but Abraham said to the king of Sodom, and this is when they're coming back from rescuing Lot. So Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand in an oath to Yahweh, God Most High. In other words, his hand is in the air, and he's saying, you know what? If I'm raising my hand and I'm claiming ownership and I'm claiming relationship with anybody in this universe, it's not you, King of Sodom. I don't want anybody to ever say that you have made me wealthy. You have blessed me in some way. So I reject everything that you have. And he says, I raise my hand in an oath to Yahweh, God Most High. Abram said it. David said it in Psalm 9. Actually, David has it all throughout the Psalms. I will thank Yahweh with all my heart. I will declare all your wonderful works. I will rejoice and boast about you. I will sing about your name, Most High. Oh, this is not just something that was, you know, that came about when Mary first heard it. This has got a long history. And the Jews would have known, wait a second, this is the one that Abraham raised his hand to. This is the one that David praised and worshiped. One more, and of course there's a lot more if you want to go check it out yourself. In Daniel chapter 5, we read, Your Majesty, the Most High God, gave sovereignty, greatness, glory, and majesty to your predecessor, Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was well aware that God was the Most High, and that power came from him. You think, oh yeah, you got into power because of this or that? God was the one who put Nebuchadnezzar in the place that he was. And that was God Most High. Knowing all of that, now think about what Mary's thinking of. She just heard the one who is going to be born from you, the one who is growing in your womb, Mary, is Son of the Most High. The one who is growing within you, developing within you, it's God. Well, that's hope. I know, like it's think if I were Mary, I'd be like, this can't be. This cannot be. But yet God was helping her to see the baby that is within you is God. Do you know how long Mary and Joseph would have had to think about these things? Well, how long is a pregnancy? Just checking, make sure you're all. Sometimes we think, because the way we read, right? We read, oh, the angel came, the next day they had the baby. And so we think they didn't really have that much time to think about it. They had a lot of time. They could have had up to a year to think about what the angel Gabriel was telling them. And you don't think Mary's sitting there thinking, I don't know how this works. And yet she believed it. That brought her all kinds of hope, not just for her, but also for her people. And I wonder how many times did her thought and Joseph's thought go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which says, for to us a child is born, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named. Do you know how many years this was before Mary heard the message? About 700 years. This has been out there for 700 years, an unfulfilled prophecy, and Mary is putting it together and realizing, whoa, that prophecy is coming true, and it's coming true with me. The boy who is developing and growing within me, that is the child. That is the son. We got hope. Now we've got hope because he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. He is coming. And of course, when he arrived, hope arrived. Hope arrived. Do you know, the Christian faith is one of hope. And I said something about this a little bit earlier, and I will say more. You know, the Christian faith is one of hope because God gives solutions. You have sin? I got a solution. I'm going to send my son. He's going to live a perfect life. No sin in him at all. But one day, I'm going to ask him to go to that cross. I'm going to ask him to bear all of the sin of the world on him. And he's going to do it. He will die for all of our sins. He will go into the grave. And he will, 3 days later, come out of that grave. And him coming out of that grave will be my stamp of approval, saying what he did, how he lived, the way he bore our sin, that is acceptable to me. Amen? You and I have problems. God sent the solution. You and I are not living the life we should be living. But God gives us the way, gives us the power, gives us the strength, gives us the ability to live that life that he designed for us to live. That's hope. That is hope. And you know, what God didn't give us is this. God didn't give us rules. Who likes to follow rules? Nobody in the room. Very interesting. God must know us well. How many of you like to follow regulations? One person. Okay, you brave soul. Rules and regulations. Sometimes we feel like, you know, just tell me what to do and I'll be okay. And God says, I could do that. I could give you all kinds of things to do and not to do and to stay away from. But that's not really going to help you. That's not going to get to the root of the problem. That's not going to deal with your sin. And so I made this statement a little bit earlier that people will tell you today that all roads lead to God. And that is not true. Because there is only one way to God. And that is his son, Jesus, the one he sent. Why would you reject that gift? Why would you reject that gift? You know, Islam will tell you there are 5 pillars of the faith. You need to believe these things. And there are 6 pillars of the truth. And they'll tell you all kinds of rules and regulations and everything else. That will not take care of your sin. That will not lead you to God. And Buddhists will tell you, if you just follow the eightfold path, you'll be good. And every single religion has a way. Do this. Don't do that. Jump through this kind of hoop. But you know the problem? They don't take care of your sin. Only one hopeful boy came, grew into a man, and he has the sole answer of how to take care of our sin. That is hopeful. You might say, well, Ian, you know, I'm not too bad. I think rules and regulations work for me. Because, you know, maybe you're the kind of person who was like, I don't really want to raise my hand because, you know, he'll probably pick on me. And I won't. I wouldn't have. I ask you that question because that's me. You give me rules and regulations, I like to follow them. Bob, you that way? Pretty much, yeah. I think Bob and I are pretty much cut from the same kind of cloth. Sometimes people think I'm Bob and Bob's me. I don't know why. Maybe. That's okay. I take that as a compliment. It's wonderful. I love to be just like my brother. You know, if you tell me do this, do that, and it's the right way, I'm all in. Just that kind of a person. But let me tell you why that doesn't work. Let's say you're the kind of person who does really, really well at following rules and regulations. Do you know the way that you feel about yourself afterwards? Look at me. Look how good I am. And not only do you feel that way about yourself, then you look at Steve and you think, what's wrong with you? Why are you not matching up like me? Come on, get your game on. So not only are we just so filled with pride about ourselves, now we're judging other people. Although you could go the other way. And you're under rules and regulations, and you just would be under all kinds of self-criticism. I can't do this. I can't make it. God's made it too hard. Well, God made it really easy. God knew the way that you and I really are deep down. And he said, I know the way to help Ian. I'm going to send my son. And if he accepts my son, that will be the solution. And then he will live the life that he should be living. So I want to challenge us this morning. If I haven't challenged you already, let me challenge you a little bit more. 2016 is ahead of us. Will you put your hope in God? It's interesting, you know, because we all face. Is there anybody here who has not faced a difficult situation in their life? Didn't think so. We all face difficult situations, you know, that they seem so enormous at the time that we feel like the whole thing is absolutely hopeless. It could be situations in our family. It could be situations with our spouse. It could be situations at work or with our health or with our finances. I could go on and on. The possibilities are endless. We find ourselves in many hopeless situations. And in that instant, in that situation, in that circumstance that you're in, I would ask you just one question. Where do you turn? You're embroiled. You're just in the situation. It's got a hold of you. Where do you turn for hope? You know, I think many of us, we're resourceful people. And so we go searching on the internet, or we're going into books and things like that. And while I'm not against those kind of things, do that. But please answer me this question. Who is first? Who is your first hope? Who is your first trust? If the book is your first hope, and if the internet with all of its suggestions, and Oprah with all of her wisdom is your first trust and your first hope, you have it backwards. Where do you turn? Is God your last resort? Is that where you go last? Let me try this. So a friend of mine told me about that, and I heard this on the radio. That is never ending. That only compounds the feeling of hopelessness. 2016 is before us. God says, I am your hope. Will you put me first? Let me show you some verses from Psalm 33. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might, it cannot rescue. And as you're sitting here this morning, I urge you, consider, what is your horse? What are you turning to when there is trouble? What are you turning to when there are complications in your life? Is it your great army? Is it your strength? Behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Yahweh, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen? Amen. Oh, what learning we can have from verses like this. What is your strong army? Your war horse. What do you trust in first? When you're losing hope, where do you put your trust and your hope? Is it in your mind? I can work this out. Just give me a little longer. I can logically work this thing. Is it in your skill? I'm pretty sure I can do something that I can change situation. Is it your friends? Well, let's be honest. Those are all false hopes. Let me just back off just for just a second and just explain a little bit. I am not in any way saying you should not check with your friends, you should not check with books, you should don't check with Oprah Winfrey. That's not going to get you anywhere. There's a lot of, for instance, if you're sick, should you go to a doctor? Okay, please do not do this. God is going to heal me right now. You cannot believe how many people I have met over the years who have depression. And they believe that God has healed them. Now, can God heal you? Yes. But God definitely did not heal them because they went off their medication and for about 2 weeks they were not doing too badly, but then they dove down. Do not make the mistake that, because our God is who he is, I'm not going to trust in anything else. No, God has given us doctors. God can heal you. God can help you through the doctor. Don't put your hope in the doctor. Put your hope in God. Amen? Amen. The doctors are very, very helpful. Listen, I am a man who has struggled with my health for over... I don't want to make it too long. It's not too long. Over 20 years, I've had a condition that absolutely annoys me and drives me nuts. I hate it. And I've tried going off the medication, thinking that I was healed. It does not work. I have a doctor who knows better than me. Don't pretend that you know better than him. Let God help you. Put your hope in God as he has sent you that doctor or whoever it happens to be. Could be a counselor. If you're a person who needs counseling, a couple who needs counseling, go for help. Don't put your hope in the counselor. Put your hope in God and see how he works through the whole thing. Amen? When your hope is running low, I hope you could pray in this way. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this, but my trust and my hope are in you. I'm relying on you to resolve this situation. Please show me what you would have me do. Our hope is not in what we expect God to do. Don't have vain imaginations. Put your hope in him. Hope arrived in a little boy. Hope arrived and dealt with our sin. Hope lives on in all who have him in their hearts. Don't you long to live a life of hope? I think deep down inside of all of our hearts, we all want to live a hopeful life. Well, it's possible. Doesn't mean you won't go through difficult things, but it is hopeful. Putting God first. Putting his son first gives you a hopeful life. Putting him in any other position is frustrating. So my prayer for us, for our church, is that 2016 would be a year full of real hope. Amen. Hope that is wrapped up in God alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being so gracious and compassionate to us that you sent your only son to this earth to be born as a child. It's amazing. And to grow as a young boy and a young man and to eventually live a life that was so qualified to go to the cross and die for our sins. Thank you, you sent a hopeful solution. You didn't compound the situation by telling us what we have to do. You sent the real solution. That is hopeful. And I just pray, Lord, as we're here this morning and as 2016 is before us, that we all would have that heart. God, we want to live a life that is full of hope. Amen. Amen and amen. Go tell it on the mountain. I don't know what the mountain is. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's your office. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your neighbors, whatever it is. Go tell it to the neighbors. That Jesus Christ is Lord. One quick note before we go. January the 10th, we will have baptisms here. So far, there are 4 people who want to be baptized, which is absolutely awesome. So, woo, God is doing a wonderful work. We were just considering over the last couple of weeks how many people have been baptized over the last 6 months. It's getting up there, which is pretty awesome. So if we know there are 4. If you are a person who is just saying, you know, it's time for me to be baptized, or you would like to know more about baptism, would you talk to myself? Talk to Bob. He's in the front here. Talk to Nigel. I think that should be good. Talk to Dell. He's in the back if that works a little better. Just want to wish you all, lunch next week. So make sure if you can come stay with us and have some lunch with us. We'll see you all next week.